Hello there, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you find yourself in the world, and you again, you're most welcome to the Telesummit, The Power of You, and today I am so excited about the topic and the personality we have as an expert today to talk on the subject of money, which is a very delicate and sensitive, whatever word you can, adjective you can use for this, but today is going to be a very great day, I believe that. And I know lots of you are going to take a lot home. So, today we have on our guest expert is Dr. Joe Vitale. And honestly, I feel so honored, so privileged to have the chance to interview him, especially on this topic. And I'd like to introduce him to you because I know by now you're all familiar with the law of attraction, but you might not know who Dr. Joe Vitale is. And if not, I am sure what Eva Gregory explained to us last week, you must now be able to have a rough idea about what the law of attraction is. It is in the main It is the main principle behind the movie, The Secret, and many other books, as you will find in most of the bookshelves that you might look out for. So who basically is Dr. Joe Vitale? For over 20 years, Dr. Joe Vitale has been studying and practicing the law of attraction in his everyday life, and now he boldly says, you can attract money now with the law of attraction. That is quite a bold statement to make, I must say. Dr. Joe Vitale has been featured in the movie The Secret, The Opus, Beyond Belief, and a few more. He is a best-selling author of over 50 books, I hear, including The Awakening, Attractor Factor, Zero Limits, Expect Miracles, Adventures Within, The Key, and of course the Attract Money Now book. He has been a guest on CNN's Larry King Live and on the Donny Deutsch CNBC television show The Big Idea. And he is also the founder of the Miracles Coaching Program, The Awakening Course, and the Rolls-Royce Phantom Masterminding. And today he will be talking to us about attracting money now. Dr. Vitale, you are very welcome to the Power of You Telesummit, and thank you very much for accepting my invitation to be part of this program. I really am honored to have you on this summit. Welcome. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. It's a treat to be here, and I've been looking forward to this. And one of my favorite subjects is teaching people how to attract money now. So
exactly.
I'm glad to talk about it.
I'm very sure about that, and you really would give us lots of tips and, advices. I'm very sure about that.
Oh, yes.
So I think we can just delve right into it because, honestly, I'm so excited about this call. So, Joe, I hope I can call you Joe, if you don't mind.
That's fine. Yes, that's my name. So we're friends.
Okay, sure. So how is it possible? I mean, I'm just going to go straight to it. How is it possible to attract money now in a world economy that does not look so favorable for improving finances? I mean, I just don't get it.
You know, I was asked one time on a radio show, how can we attract money now when the headlines say that the stock market is bad and banking is bad and the economy is bad and the world economy is bad and this, that, and the other? And I said, how do you know it's bad? Because they had to pause and then reflect on how they got that information.
Mm-hmm.
And when most people say that the economy is bad and they ask them, well, how do you know? They say, well, because of the television or because of the news bulletins or because of the newspaper or because of the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, yes, exactly right. They are professionals at finding negative news, and then they are very, very skilled at telling you all about it in the most disastrous way. And when you believe it, you start to think that's the reality. But that's not reality. That is a tiny little aspect of it. There is a giant portion of our planet that is doing fantastic. Many of the people I work with, including myself, we all are immune to what the newspapers are saying. Because we're looking at life from a different set of beliefs. We believe that there's opportunities out there, that there's money for everybody, that whenever there's a shortage of money, most governments just print more of it, that there's plenty of it in circulation. So the first thing to understand is people who think that there aren't any opportunities or there aren't any money or that there's gloom and doom are knowing that because of the programming they're watching over the media. So my first tip is turn the mainstream media off.
Okay. Interesting. I would come to the media later, but I want to ask you this. My next question is, if it is that there's so much money that we can attract now, then why is it that there are only a few people who are very rich in this world?
Well, there's a lot more than a few people who are very rich in this world.
Well, compared to the people who are in luck, it's just a fraction of it, honestly.
Well, it's not a fraction. It's a huge population of people are very wealthy. In America alone, more people are becoming millionaires every year than in all the previous years.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually happening. When people say it's not happening, it's because they're listening to the mainstream news, which is finding some negative statistic and wants you to believe that. The very first thing we have to do in order to attract money now is quit paying attention to all the negativity that's not helping us in any way, shape, or form, and start paying attention to the positive programming, like what you're doing on this particular interview. You're trying to focus on the positive. You're trying to help people.
Gotcha.
Well, there's plenty of alternatives in the media that is designed to help people. You want to focus on that so that you feel better, so that you feel more optimistic. Because when you feel better and you're more positive and you're more optimistic, you'll tend to see opportunities and take action to make the opportunities come true. While you're still stuck with the old programming, you're going to think it's all worthless and why bother? And you're not going to make any money. And if you even make it, taxes is going to take it. You'll just think negative. And that's not the reality. That's only a choice. I'm out there with some other people saying, look, there's a different way of living through life. I'm trying to help you to see that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. So you know all these memetics that shape our belief and values. Like you said, the media,
yeah.
There is a community, there's family, honestly, all relationships that we have, the economy, the government, you name them. Definitely, there are many great memetics that make us adopt good beliefs, but there are also these bad memetics that causes us to adopt bad beliefs as well.
Mm.
It seems it's hard to avoid them. So what would you say are some of the ways to conquer these key negative beliefs that are pushing money away from people?
Mm. Well, that's a great question, and it is beliefs that push money away. It's nothing else.
Exactly.
Money is circulating all around us. Money's available to anybody who wants to open up their minds to see it. So why don't we see it? We don't see it because of our beliefs. And the very first thing you want to do, this is another major tip, is become very sensitive. Beware of your thinking and notice where beliefs about money show up. For example, many movies out of Hollywood have rich people as being the bad guys or corporations being corrupt. And that is for entertainment purposes. But when you watch it, you don't think it's entertainment. You are actually being programmed to believe money's bad, rich people are bad. If you have a lot of money, you'll probably be bad too. So unconsciously, you end up thinking, well, I don't want a lot of money because I'll end up being bad like those people in the movie. That's a form of programming. That's a form of hypnosis in many ways. And we want to become aware of that. When I was growing up in the 1950s, one of the television shows was Gilligan's Island. And many people might know that show because it's still out in rerun. And they were stranded on a little island, and there was a wealthy couple on the island. And they were a source of great humor because they were very snobby, they were very sophisticated, but they were not likable, they were not lovable, they were people to laugh at, but you certainly didn't want to be them. And so you end up thinking that wealthy people are snobby, unhappy, unloving people, and you unconsciously make the conclusion, well, I don't want to be wealthy because then I'll be snobby and unlikable. So what we need to do is be aware of our programming. Where is that coming from? And we look at a newspaper, and they're focusing on financial crisis. It's telling us to be scared. And when you're scared, you can't take very good opportunities. You can't clearly see your choices, and you don't feel like thriving. You feel like you're just barely surviving. When you watch television or you watch movies, be very sensitive to the underlying messages in the storyline, because that story is for entertainment, but a lot of us watch it thinking this is the way life is. That's not true. So all of this begins by becoming very, very sensitive to beliefs that you already have and beliefs that are trying to get into your brain.
Yeah. Interesting. Actually, it's interesting you're talking about this, because some time back I actually had a conversation with my husband, because I realized that I feel very comfortable here with in my family. And what I realized that I was playing this belief in my mind that was not allowing me to attract what I wanted, in the sense that where I come from is the belief that in my family is the belief that the man brings money to the home to take care of the family.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking, hold on a minute, I am really holding myself back on this. I'm using this against myself.
Good
really
for you. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
I actually
spoke with him and I said, honey, I think I need to clear this with you. What do you think about it? Is it okay when I start earning some money? He said, well, go ahead. So it's like I cleared my mind of it. It's just like what you talk about in your audio programs. I mean, I've got lots of your programs, and I've listened to the clearing one. And
that's
when I thought, okay, I need to talk to him about it, because it looks like I am really sabotaging myself. And, I mean, that I have been cleared about. But now my question to you next will be, how can a listener attract money in his or her life when he or she comes from a background of a poor family, poor country, and every indication, like I've even stated before, shows that the economy shows that the reality is that not only would it not be easy for the person to make money, but it is near impossible to attract money at all.
Well, that's another wonderful question. The first thing to realize is that obviously we've all heard stories of people who have managed to escape family, friends, circumstances, countries, even imprisonment, and be able to break free, go on with their lives and create some prosperity in their lives, and we end up talking about them. So obviously it's possible. And that's the first thing to know, is that if it's happened for anybody else, it can happen for you too. That ends up being a belief that encourages you to take action, a belief that's installed in you because somebody else was successful. So when people say, oh, I had a poor upbringing, everybody has a poor upbringing in one form or another. We all have struggles. Some people might have more money when they were brought up, but they weren't happy, or their parents emotionally abused them. I grew up in a poor middle class, and I ended up being homeless for a while in Dallas, Texas, decades ago, and then I was in poverty for almost 10 years when I was in Houston. And so I still managed to pull myself out of that despite my circumstances. And there have been many stories of people who came over to this country who had $5 in their pocket and end up creating success. I just finished reading the autobiography of Desi Arnaz, who was the partner of Lucille Ball with the famous TV show I Love Lucy. And he was in Cuba and was chased out of Cuba in the 1930s. His father was put in jail. His father had to escape the country. He escaped the country. When they got to Florida, they had, I think, $5 to their name. And it might have been less. It might have been a few dollars more. And yet, from that, from nothing, he created one of the most famous TV shows in history. He created Desi Arnaz, or Desi Lou Studios, which became a multimillion-dollar process. So anytime people say that, how can I attract money because my upbringing was bad, or I come from a country that's hard to have prosperity, those are excuses.
Oh.
And that's part of what holds them back from attracting money. instead of saying, why won't it work for me, say, how can this work for me? And start to look for the possibilities in your particular situation. There have been way too many stories of people who have been in worse situations than anybody who can be listening to this interview. So anybody can make that transformation. If I can do it, you can do it. If Desi Arnaz can do it, you can do it. If other people in other countries have done it, you can do it. There's plenty of evidence that this is possible.
Wow, this is really a punch, really. Honestly, it really is a punch because, I mean, I come from Ghana, and I mean, mm-hmm. in my country, it's like I know that people work really hard to make a living, and I know they're not lazy people, but somehow they really are not being able to attract so much money into their lives, most of the citizens there. But that's anyway, by the way, I hope that what we are hearing today would listen to it, and then we start changing our lives. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I like how you call it a punch because it is a wake-up call.
Exactly.
And it is a little bit of a tough love approach. Mm-hmm. And because I wrote my book, Attract Money Now, to help all these people who have been complaining, because I have people who will write to me and say, I need to attract money for health insurance, or I'm disabled, or I just lost my job, or I'm about to lose my house, or I did lose my house, or any number of things. And I heard that so often, I thought, my goodness, I will write a book specifically to help them attract money. It's called Attract Money Now, and then I'll even give it away.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, just go to www.attractmoneynow.com and read the book. I can't read it for you, and I can't do it for you, but by God, here are the 7 steps. They're free. Read it. Do it. And then stop complaining and attract money now.
Exactly. And, of course, like you said, if anybody wants to download the book, you go to attractmoneynow.com, and you can have it for free. It's the e-book. And if you want the hard copy, you can go to Amazon or any of the bookshelves, and you can have it to buy.
Well, thank
so
you.
Now, I wonder how someone who earns a fixed amount of money at a job, career, attracts money, or more money, to be precise. Joe,
You're
can you help
good.
Me with that?
You're very good. These are very good questions.
I told you I'm really excited about this call, so I've really prepared myself.
Very good. I love that. I love excitement. I love passion. I love your energy, and I love your questions here.
Thank you.
And you are, in many ways, punching back. Because because you are, you know, lovingly putting me on the spot and saying, okay, Joe, what if somebody's got a fixed income?
Exactly.
And how do they attract more money than that? And that's a wonderful question because I understand it. At one point, I was working for an oil company, and again, this was decades ago, but yet I wanted to be an author, and I was trying to write articles and books and send them out and trying to get published, and of course, this was way before the Internet. And I remember thinking, how can I attract more money when all I'm getting paid is this several hundred dollars or whatever it was a week from this oil company? It was dependable. It was safe. But that was pretty much locked in stone. Unless I got a raise or a bonus, how would I get any more money? And one of the prosperity teachers I was talking to at the time said, you're looking at only one slice of a giant pie.
Wow.
And you're saying that all the rest of the pie isn't available to you. Only this one little slice is available to you. Or another way of putting it is we live in this giant prosperity house. We live in Treasure Island. We'll call it Earth, but it's really Treasure Island. And this Treasure Island has all kind of gold and silver and coin and paper and money and all the forms that you value and all the forms that you didn't even know existed, but that's priceless. But we keep saying, I only want it to come from this particular job and in this particular format. And we are blind. We have blinders on that don't allow us to see everything else around us. Now, let me give a specific example here. I started a movement to end homelessness called Operation Yes. Okay. And it came from my belief that anybody, and I mean anybody, who has access to a computer can make money online. And even if they don't own a computer, libraries and schools have computers that you can use for free. You just walk in. You might have to wait your turn to use it, but they have them there. So there's no excuses. And I say you can go online. You can create a digital product, an e-book, an information product on something that you know about. And everybody has experience or education or knowledge in some field about a hobby or an experience they went through that they can turn into a book. They turn that into a digital product. It could be an audio book. It could be a written book. It could be a video. And they sell it online.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to make money. In fact, that's a wonderful way to make money. And I stood my ground and said, look, even homeless people can think of a way. They might need some help thinking about it, or they might need my book, but you can think of a way to create an information product. You can go on the internet, you can do it at the library for free, and you could be making money. That's only one example of another door or another piece of pie that can bring wealth to you. The people who say it can only come from my job have blinders on. They don't see beyond their job, and they got to expand their mind and start thinking, oh, I wonder what other product I could make, or I wonder what kind of business I could do, or I wonder what kind of item I could sell, or it just be thinking in a creative way, because surely there's always other ways to sell things. And you know what? Even if they couldn't think of something to sell that they created, they can be an affiliate and sell somebody else's product that they created.
Right. Yeah.
So there's so many. I mean, I get excited because I'm thinking, my goodness, there are so many ways to attract money beyond the job. And a job, there's nothing wrong with a job, but if somebody's trying to attract more money, they might have to expand their mindset and think, okay, what else can I do, or what else can I offer?
Interesting. I can imagine. Well, I think we all have to start thinking of various ways to start selling something to earn money now then. I mean, like you're saying, it's basically we also have to look at our passion, because you just can't go out and sell things that you really aligned to. So that's another factor we need to consider.
Well, let me stop there for a second, because you brought up a good point.
Okay.
People have often asked me, how did I get out of homelessness? How did I get out of homelessness? How did I get out of poverty? How did I get to this place where I have a luxurious lifestyle, I've got just about everything that I could ever imagine, and more keeps coming in, and now I'm doing my best to help people and with free books and free calls that I don't get paid for. I mean, I'm just doing this to help. How did I get here?
Yeah.
And I would tell people, the only thing I've really ever done was follow my passion.
That's right.
Whatever I was really excited about, even when I didn't know if it would make money, and even when I didn't do it on purpose to make money, I simply followed my passion, because following my passion is the key for all of us to find our life mission, our life path, to fulfill our calling. In my opinion, that's the roadmap to success.
Absolutely.
Follow your passion. Follow your heart, follow your calling, follow your life mission, follow what excites you. Any of those phrases, but it really comes down to the word you used, which for me is passion.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, when you follow your passion and you're doing it, even when you're not being paid for it, you still love it and you go on.
Yes.
And the
rewards
come.
And that's the beauty, you're still happy.
Exactly.
Most people think, oh, I have to have money because then I'll be happy.
That's
no,
right.
If you be happy now and enjoy this moment and follow your passion in this moment, you've increased the odds of you attracting money even faster. You don't go and say you want money or anything else because then you'll be happy. By being happy now, you actually up the wattage so that you can attract whatever it is that you wanted to be happy about in the first place.
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much. Now, I want to ask you this. Why is it, I mean, you stated in your book, why is it so important to know what you don't want when attracting money?
Yeah, because, well, first of all, knowing what you don't want is where most people stop. They say, I don't want to be in debt, or I don't want to be in pain, or I don't want to be lonely, or I don't want to be whatever it happens to be that they complain about. Most people state that, and they leave it there, and so they're stuck in their own energy. They're stuck in that vibration that will actually keep them there. I say it's actually useful to know what you don't want for one main reason. You transform it into a statement about what you do want. So when somebody says, I'm tired of being in debt, I'm really tired of being broke, great, what do you want? Well, I want to be debt-free, or I want to be financially free. I want more than enough money to come in before I need to pay any bills. I want to be rolling in the dough and be able to help my family, friends, and society and causes I believe in or countries I believe in. Well, wow, you went from the complaint, which was, I don't want to be in debt anymore, and your energy sucks, and life sucks, and you're not happy at all, and you use that and turn it in. You just reverse it 180 degrees into what you do want. Well, I want money. I want to be financially free so I can be happy, and I can make a difference, and I can help other countries or other causes or other people. Now your energy is going up. Now you have a directive. Now you're doing something positive. Now you're going in the right direction. So knowing what you don't want helps you go to what you do want, which is really powerful. And that's where you want to be.
Wonderful. Now I want to go to the step two, which is your intention. Stating your intention. In your book, The Attractive Factor, which I've read and I have, it's actually stating that you need to know what you want and then state that intention. What if somebody doesn't know exactly what they want, the amount of money, now we're talking about money. What if somebody doesn't know the exact amount of money that they want, but they really want money to live a better quality of life? Doesn't mean that this person cannot attract money, Joe?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. When it comes to money, you don't need to know the exact amount at all.
Okay.
There's probably a sense of what that feels like, and that's what's important. Yet
okay.
You still asked a good question, though, because some people might say, I don't know what my passion is, or I don't know what what excites me, or I don't know what I really want out of life, period. I've heard this from all kinds of people, so your question is an excellent one, because surely some people will be saying that to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody comes to me and they say, I don't know what my passion is and I don't know what I want, well, I look at them and say, you're lying to me. And why do I say that? Because underneath our fears, we all know what we want. What we are afraid to do is admit it. We're afraid to admit it because as soon as we admit it, now we have to make an excuse for not doing it. Now we have to either take action to make it happen, or we got to start explaining why we're not taking action to make it happen. And for many people, it's easier just to say, oh, I don't know what I want. No, you do know what you want. You might have to play a little bit, like, what did you want when you were a little kid? Or if you won the lotto, not that I'm encouraging anybody to play gambling or anything, but if you just pretended you won $300 million one night, and even after taxes, you had hundreds of millions of dollars left over, and even after you went on a shopping spree and you bought 15 cars and went around the world 7 times, and you bought 3 houses and you gave away all kinds of money and bought all your toys and bought toys for other people, and one day you wake up and you realize, well, I'm not fun anymore to keep spending money. What are you going to do then? These kind of questions stimulate people to go, oh, yeah, I did always want to be a songwriter, or I did always want to open a restaurant or write a cookbook, or, yeah, I always wanted to write that children's book. Or it'll be different to each person. And sometimes it's even a generalized passion. Like my passion for me personally is, I believe I'm here to inspire people to go for and achieve their dreams. There's not a specific number in there about a certain amount of money. There's not a specific time frame, but it's a very clear intention. I know what it means, and it means a lot to me personally, and it's my guiding prime directive. So, again, people know what they want. You have to be honest with yourself, though, and I encourage people not just to be honest, be ruthlessly honest with yourself, because sometimes you can say, oh, I was honest and I can't think of what I want. Well, baloney. Be ruthlessly honest with yourself. Don't take no for an answer. I'm sorry, we're practicing tough love today, so you don't get to dodge. I'm going to punch you. Now, of course, you can punch back if you like.
I am going to do that right now, and I'm loving it.
I know. Well, this is so good because it's a loving little punching here. It's more
exactly.
Like a love tap.
Yeah. Anyway, so Joe, all that you've been talking, what keeps ringing in my mind is limiting beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
Limiting beliefs.
That's right.
Now, how can one clear these limiting beliefs to attract money?
I love that. Well, the first thing is to be aware of the limiting beliefs, and there are ways to clean them even without knowing what they are, and if we have time, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But let's look at a couple of them. One of the biggest, baddest, boldest belief that virtually everybody has, at least unconsciously, is this line, and I don't even have to finish the line. I'll just begin it, and I'll be quiet for a second. Money is the root of all
evil.
Everybody's got to fill that in with evil.
Exactly.
Well, first of all, that's from biblical literature. It's an incomplete statement because that's not what the whole line says in the Bible. But just think for a second. If people are walking around and easily being able to finish that sentence with the word evil, that means unconsciously they're associating money with evil.
Yes.
Well, if they're associating money with evil, they go and try to attract money or earn money or do any number of ways to get money into their lives, they will not succeed at any noteworthy level. They might bring in just enough money to survive, but not to thrive and not to prosper, because they think it's evil and they're not going to want it. So consciously people think, oh, I want money. I'm going to read Joe Vitale's book and I'm going to go and attract money. Oh, that's great. And you might visualize and set intentions and meditate and write scripts and even look through catalogs and think about people you'll give money to. That's all wonderful. That's all on the conscious mind. But in your unconscious mind, if you still think money's evil, you are not going to want it in your life. You do not want to be associated with evil. You do not want to be a sinner. You do not want to be punished. And that line feels like it comes from this power that you can't argue with. So here you are trying to attract money, and here you are trying to ignore money at the same time. So there's a tug of war. And this is why many people who even win the lotto are broke and even further in debt a year after they got the money, because it was too much, too soon. It triggered their comfort zone. They had to get rid of it. They either poorly invested it, they had accidents, they gave it away, they missed whatever, and then they're broke again. This happens to more people than we can imagine, all because of that belief. So, how do we get clear of it was your question.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, the first thing is awareness, knowing it. And you're going, oh, wow, I didn't really realize that that was in my head. I wonder what the truth of the statement is. Well, in my book, Attract Money Now, I explain all of it. I'll give a quick version of it. The line itself actually says, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, not money itself. Money is actually neutral. Money doesn't mean anything. We agree on its value, but in and of itself, it's paper, it's coin, it doesn't really mean anything.
Exactly.
So the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, guess what? All the wealthy people I know, and even the ones I don't know but I know of, aren't in love with money. I'm not in love with money. Even Donald Trump's not in love with money. He openly has said he loves deal making. That's his passion.
Mm-hmm.
He's following his passion. He only has to know that he's winning in deal making by looking at the money that comes in. That's the scorecard.
Right.
In my particular world, I certainly appreciate money, but I don't love money. I almost never do anything for money. I do things because of my passion, and I have one eye on the money, saying, well, is money coming in? Is money not coming in? I keep an eye on it, but it's not because I love it. It's because I live in a world that requires money for us to move around and trade things and get services and goods. Mm-hmm. I love Walt Disney's quote because he said, we want to make money from our movies so we can continue making movies.
Right.
That is the purity of it. So when you look at the belief about money is the root of all evil and you realize, okay, that's not true. You look at the extended belief, the love of money is the root of all evil, and you realize that, well, I don't really love money, but I certainly appreciate it. In fact, there's one teacher, Arnold Patton, who has this one line I absolutely love, and he says, the sole purpose of money is to express appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
The sole purpose of money is to express appreciation. So all of this dialogue that I'm giving you is how you begin to pop the bubble of beliefs that have been the paradigm we've been operating out of. You can imagine that as soon as you just take away the belief money's the root of all evil, wow, you get tremendous freedom to bring money in your life now, because it's not bad.
Exactly.
And it's not going to hurt you. It's going to actually help you.
Wow, interesting. I'm really enjoying this call today.
Me too.
Anyway, wonderful. I'm glad.
Yep.
So talking about rich people, I now want to go on to ask you, so can you give us one of the best kept secrets of the wealthy for attracting money easily? We need that, Joe.
Yeah, I can, but nobody's going to believe me when I tell it to you.
Please do.
We'll believe you. Well, I think you'll believe me, but some people might be a little resistant, because I know I was when I first heard this.
Mm.
But it's not something new. It's just something we're resistant to doing. Here it is. The best way for you to attract money now is to give away money to where you're receiving spiritual or inspirational nourishment.
Oh.
Now, this is a biggie. I already heard you go, oh, so you're taking it in.
Yeah, I am taking, and I'm going to punch back, but you go on.
Oh, good. Oh, I love that little punch of yours. All right, this is a fun call. We got some punching going on here.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of punching that opens hearts and it opens minds, so
exactly.
It's playful. And
yeah.
I love it because your questions are very sincere and very targeted.
Yeah.
So giving money. When I first heard that, you know, you hear it from ministers, you hear it in churches, you hear it in different places. When I first heard it from those sources, I thought, yeah, right, that's a big scam. You want me to give money to you. That's what you're up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself, yeah, I'll give money away when I have money to give away. So those are a couple of thoughts that come from the skeptical side of most people. And I was there. I definitely understood that. When I started to experiment and thought, okay, I got $5, let me give away, you know, 10% of that. And then I'd think, where do I give it away? Well, I read a book that inspired me that day, or I heard a minister at a Unity church or a Unitarian church or a positive thinking church, Science of Mind, something like that. And I would just give it to them. And then I wouldn't think too much about it, but I'd be on the lookout to say, okay, does this work? Is money going to be coming in? And sure enough, money would come in. Either that would be given to me, or I would sell an article, or I got a job offer, or I got a raise, or I found money, or any number of ways it would work. And what I learned is you don't wait until you have money to start giving this 10% to wherever you receive spiritual nourishment. You do it today. You do it right now. You do it with whatever in your pocket, and you do it with whoever just inspired you. That doesn't have to be a church. That could be a busboy. That could be a taxi driver. That could be somebody that smiled at you on the street. That could be any number of sources. You just check with your heart and say, okay, where was I inspired today? And wherever that was, just reach in your pocket or your purse, and you give 10% of what you have or what you've received recently to that source. And you don't think anything more of it. You don't demand a receipt. You don't even have to keep giving to that same source. You just keep asking yourself on a regular basis, where was I recently inspired? How much money did I recently receive? Give 10% of that source. I am telling you that the secret of the greatest millionaires out there is giving. And people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have started an organization where they're convincing just virtually every millionaire, billionaire out there to give as much as half of their wealth away. And I'm not even going that far. I'm saying just give 10% away. Later, if you feel like it and you want to give more, then give more. But when you ask for a quick lesson in money, this will work for you as long as you've already released the belief that money is the root of all evil. Because if you give money away and you still think money's evil, you'll block it when it starts coming back to you.
Okay.
So you need to be clear and okay with money. And believe me, I got to say one more word here about this. Money is the most useful tool for making a difference in the world.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
really care about the planet, and you care about pockets of cities or other families or causes or organizations, that the best way that you can help them is with money. Mm-hmm. And you can help them with money when you're okay with money. Attract enough money to take care of yourself and your family and then direct it to the places you think it will do the most good. This is the power of money, and this is the usefulness of money. When people say money's bad, money's evil, money is all this stuff, it's all because of the programming they got from the media. Because money in and of itself is neutral. It is, in fact, in my opinion, it's a spiritual energy, and you can use it to bless yourself and others.
Okay. Well, I can tell you this time you have silenced me because my question you've answered before I even mentioned it. So.
Well, I was trying to cover all the bases here, and I was imagining, what is she going to ask me next?
Well, you got it, so I wouldn't waste much time on it anymore. So thank you for that.
Of course.
So now, is there a way that rich people think regarding money that makes them attract money easily? I mean, let's just go into their heads if you have those microscopes to do that, please, Joe.
Yeah, I love that question. That's a good one, too. You know, well, people look at, very wealthy people look at money as a way to make more money. And I would say that the average person, and myself included, this is something I've had to learn, and this is the good news for all of us. We may have to learn this, but it's learnable. All of these things I'm talking about is just a way to reprogram your mind, reprogram your behavior. So we can do all of this. This is not impossible at all. It might just be a tiny little challenge at first because you're creating a new habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But wealthy people look at money as a way to make more money, where the average person or a person still struggling with money looks at money as survival. They look at money as a way to, oh, pay my bills, occasionally go out to eat or buy something nice. I got to pay my house payment. They look at money as a one-dimensional, one-directional kind of avenue, and they just use it to survive. But wealthy people look at money and go, okay, how can I use this money to make more money? And sometimes it means they'll use the money and invest in a business, maybe their own business, maybe somebody else's business. And sometimes they'll use it to buy things that will appreciate. Like I often will buy something that's rare because I know that over time it will be worth more money than the time, than the moment that I bought it.
Yeah.
So it will appreciate. It's going to earn money for me. I have a friend in Australia. And I remember a decade or more ago we were sitting down. We were in Melbourne, Australia. And he was telling me that he had learned to make his money, make money for him. But he was going one step even beyond that. And he was learning how to make the money that he made from his money make more money.
Wow, I love that.
And I'm not even there yet where he was coming from. But this is how the wealthy people are really thinking. Money is a tool. Money is a symbol. Money is a leverage device. Money is a mechanism for making more money. And again, it's not because it's the love of the money. It's the love of the freedom. It's the love of creativity. It's the love of expressing your passion. And money allows you to do that. Mm-hmm. So, again, money is this magical, powerful, miraculous tool. And when you learn how to make money from your money, now you're inside the brain of a wealthy person and learning how to think like they do.
Wow. I think today listeners will really have a big stone off their head and start making money. Joe, you're working your miracles already.
Well, you know what? I want to pause here and acknowledge you, because I have been doing lots and lots of interviews. You know, I do them night and day, and I've done TV, radio, all this other stuff. But your questions in this particular interview are some of the most pinpointed, honest, direct, lovingly punchable, if I can create a word there, that I've ever come across. So I didn't know what we would be talking about because, you know, I didn't see the questions. I didn't know what you would ask.
Yeah.
But as we're going through this, I greatly admire you. I greatly
admire
your energy, your passion, your wisdom, your dedication to taking care of the people who are listening, because not only are you being very focused, but you're pulling the best out of me.
Oh, thank you.
As
I
a
really
result
feel
of this.
Humbled.
Yes.
Thank you
yeah.
so much. That's
well,
a very
you.
Nice thing to tell me.
Well, I applaud you, and it's all sincere. You're doing great. I'm
thank
impressed.
You. Thank you very much. Anyway, so let's go on because I have more punches for you.
All right.
So some of the ways that, I mean, you've mentioned some of the ways that I know of spending money to attract more money is giving and investing,
yeah.
among other things.
Yeah.
Yet you say there is a brand new secret for spending that leads to attracting money.
Yeah.
I'm really interested, and I'm sure our listeners are too. What is the secret, Joe?
Yeah, I love this secret. I'm glad that you remembered to ask me that, because I have a section in my book, Attract Money Now, where people can read about it. But I call it prosperous purchasing or prosperous spending.
Okay.
And I was on Fox Television a year or so ago, and they asked me about that. I mean, they looked at the whole, there's seven steps in the book, Attract Money Now, and they looked at all of them, and they picked that one out. And I said, what in the world is prosperous spending? And I said, oh, good, that's one of my favorites. And what it means is, and you have to listen carefully because some people can misunderstand this, when the desire for a product or service is there in front of you in the moment, and you have the money for it in that same moment, you must buy it.
Okay.
Now I want to explain this because, first of all, notice I said don't go into debt.
Exactly.
I didn't say use your credit card unless you could pay it off, but I say don't go into debt. I'm saying if the product or service is there and the money is there, you must buy it. Okay, so first, you don't go into debt. This is all assuming you've got the money on hand. But why buy it? Well, there's a psychological message that's going on if you don't buy it, and there's one that goes on if you do buy it. If you look at this product, we'll say, you know, it could be a nice jacket. You're in a clothing store, but it could be anything. It could be a book. It can be a music CD. It can be any number of things. But we'll say a jacket in a clothing store, and you looked at it, and you're going, oh, that's beautiful. and I really want that. And yes, I do have the money on me right now, but I'm not going to buy it today. What did you just tell yourself? You told yourself that you don't have enough money, you're not worth it, you need to hold on to your money because you might not have any more coming in the future.
Oh.
You coming from a mindset of scarcity, you have just put yourself down because you had the money and you have the desire. It's clearly there, but you're not loving yourself or liking yourself even enough to go ahead and buy it. By ignoring that moment, that signal in that moment, you just gave yourself a signal, a whole message that you don't want any more money, that you're actually coming from desperation and scarcity. Let's reverse that. If you're standing there and you look at the nice jacket and you go, oh, that's so beautiful, and yeah, I do have the money on me, I'll go ahead and buy it. What did you just do? You just took care of yourself for one thing. You just said, I love myself, or at least I like myself. You just confirmed that money is useful for you because you just spent it on something that's useful for you, and you just announced unconsciously that more money is coming to you because you were willing to surrender this money. You also created a vacuum in your life, and the universe doesn't like vacuums. It fills it with whatever just left. So if you spent money on a prosperous thing that you wanted right there in that moment, the universe is going to go, oh, we have to go refill that. And by the way, let's give them some more, give her some more, so the next time that moment comes around, they can buy even something else.
Yeah.
Also, when you do this, you're in the flow of life. When you don't go and buy something, and again, this is assuming you have the desire for it and you have the money for it. If you don't do it, you just plugged up the flow of life. You just kind of put your foot there or your finger in the dike and you're slowed down the flow. Money has to circulate. Money has to be in circulation. You are holding on. That keeps money from coming to you again. You're jamming the system. When you release and you spend the money, you put the money in circulation. This helps the economy. This helps that store, this helps that clerk, this helps the local community, ultimately it helps the national community. Maybe that jacket even came from another country overseas. It helped that community and that economy and that country. You help when you are doing prosperous purchasing. So I love prosperous purchasing. In fact, I often look around going, wow, I wonder what's calling out for me to buy. Is it a guitar? Is it a car? Is it a book? Is it a shirt?
A new Lamborghini?
It could be that. It all depends on, you know, the moment.
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful tip. And, again, I explain it a little bit more in Attract Money Now. And, again, everybody can read it. It's free. Go to www.attractmoneynow and download it, read it, practice it.
Absolutely. Well, that is very revealing, Joe. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
But the thing is, my voice has my voice has come down now because, I mean, in reality, asking for money can be a daunting task when you are not used to doing that. Yet I've come, well, personally, I have come to learn that it's not just okay to give, to keep on giving, but it's also worth receiving, and that makes the whole process complete.
Yes.
Now, you talk about two amazing little-known levels of asking for money that always works. What are they? I mean, I personally will benefit from this. I can tell you that. I confess to that.
Okay. Well, I love this, too, because some people know about the level of asking for help from other people. And I had to learn this, and this is important for people to realize because a lot of people might be saying, I can't do that, or I'm too shy to do that, or I feel uncomfortable asking anybody for help.
Exactly.
But I was that way, too. I was very much the Lone Ranger, meaning I wanted to do everything myself. Obviously, I wanted to be the hero, and I wanted to be able to do it by myself, to say I could do it by myself.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's an ego trip. And ultimately, that's not a very effective way of getting anything accomplished in the world. You'll get things done so much faster if you enlist the help of other people. Relationships are key in all of this. We're all here to help each other. And when we do help each other, we can make the planet work. We can resolve problems and be more prosperous and move more forward in life easier and faster. So I had to learn to ask for help. And what I would do is just start asking the people that I knew could help. And sometimes it was through letters. We didn't have the internet when I was first learning this, so I had to do the old snail mail thing where you write a letter and you put a stamp on it and all of that.
Yeah.
And I did that. And I was amazed at how people would help me. they would answer my questions. They would often send me gifts. They would send me some of their products to say, in a way, because they said to themselves, well, here's a person who sincerely wants to make a difference in his life. Let's help him.
Yeah.
And I remember one author I had written to, and I said, look, I want to be an author too, and I'm writing these marketing books, and I'm learning marketing, and I really admire your work, and you give me some advice, and I might have been more specific than that. I don't really remember. And I remember getting this big package back from him. There was a long letter in it giving me all this advice, and there were several of his books and some of his audios, and he had signed them all and gave them to me.
Okay.
So I learned asking for help was not only easy, but it was incredibly beneficial to me as well as to the person I asked. And this is the other thing to keep in mind. And again, I had to learn this too. I was told, when somebody asks you for help, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Well, I feel good. I was honored. I got complimented. You know, they think I know something. They're asking for my help. I'll go ahead and help them. Mm-hmm. And they said, that's how people feel when you ask them for help.
Hmm.
So when I thought about that, I thought, oh, well, that takes away all the reasons not to ask for help. You know, if you're trying to learn something, you're trying to acquire something, start asking people around you, who do you know who might be able to fulfill this request for me? So that's one level of asking. There is another level of asking, and this is more spiritual or metaphysical. I'm not sure what people will call it, but I'm a great believer in talking to the divine, talking to what some people would call your spirit guides or your guardian angels. I don't really know how to describe that in a way that would please everybody, but I have learned that when I ask for help out loud of the universe itself, it will help me fulfill my needs. It'll help me fulfill my desires. It'll help attract or lead me to the ways to attract what I want. And I have found this to be incredibly powerful. I know when I was in Houston and I was living in my first home there, my starter home, and I had all these bills and they were on my desk and I'd lay in bed and I'd look over and I could see the desk and I'd see the bills and I'd go, oh my God, how am I going to pay those? You know, I didn't see where the money was coming from. I was struggling with prosperity. I was certainly doing better, but I was doing it with baby steps because I didn't have the internet. I didn't have my Miracles coaching program. I didn't have coaches. I didn't have books like Attract Money Now. I didn't have shows like this one. I mean, there were so many things I didn't have that the people today are so lucky to have as resources.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at those and going, okay, and I would pray. I would literally pray. And now what's interesting is I look back, I'm kind of smiling because I'm going, you know what? All those bills got paid. Every month, month after month, year after year, they all got paid until there weren't any bills anymore because they were all paid off.
Mm-hmm.
And now today I don't even think about it, and that's not in my awareness at all because everything's handled. But I started by asking for help. First you ask from other people, like who can help you achieve something. But then, be skeptical or not, I believe in prayer.
Yeah. I absolutely do as well. I believe that prayer-wise, I think I'm okay. But physically asking, that is my challenge. That's what I need to work on. And I'm sure there are people who will relate to this anyway. So
well,
thank you for that.
I want to remind them that when you ask somebody for help, generally speaking, they're going to feel really good that they were asked, much like when you're asked for help.
Yeah.
If you can at all accomplish the request when somebody asks you for help, you feel good that you were asked, and if you can at all accomplish it, you will do it.
Mm.
So that's how these other people feel when you ask them. If they can do it for you, they will more often than not do it. It's certainly worth the try to ask. And the more you ask, the easier it gets. The first few times just feel uncomfortable because it's the first few times. It's awkward.
Mm. I mean, I can understand you, and it's becoming clearer to me now because I know how I feel when people ask me for help. It's like heaven for me, and I just want to do everything to make sure that they get what they want.
Exactly.
You understand me? But somehow, I personally, I don't want to go too much about me, but I personally find it so difficult to reach out to ask
for help. Okay, let's stop there for a second. I know we're going to run out of time, but I have to hit on this for a moment because what you're hitting on or highlighting is another reason why people don't attract money. It has to do with the issue of deservingness. It has to do with the issue of self-love. I say in my book, Attract Money Now, that one of the other big beliefs that stop people from attracting money and virtually anything else is the belief that they're not lovable. That deep down unconsciously they feel like, I don't deserve success, I don't deserve respect, I'm not lovable, I'm not likable. all of that. At some point, in some degree, virtually everybody has that as a belief, and we want to address it. Well, you can easily see that it would be difficult for a person thinking that way to ask for help, because a person who thinks, well, who am I to ask for anything? I don't really deserve that respect or that time or even success. You know, who am I? That is a self-esteem issue, and I'm not talking about you personally, but I do know I've had to wrestle with it, and virtually everybody I've ever talked to has had to wrestle with it. At some point, because of how we're brought up, we hear no so many times, and we're told don't do this so many times, we start to think that we're not valuable or we're not good enough. Maybe the phrase, I'm not good enough, is another one that people can relate to. So again, all of these you want to be aware of, and then you want to release them. Because obviously, you're here on earth, and I don't mean just you, I mean everybody listening. We are here. This is a gift from the divine for us to be here. We deserve to be here. We are loved. That's why we are here. And we have to love ourselves, appreciate ourselves, know we deserve things, follow our passion, because that's really our calling. And if that means asking for help, then by God, ask for help, because that's what makes the world go round. Asking for help, getting things done, you helping somebody else next, we pass it forward, then the world becomes this peaceful, prosperous place.
Interesting. And ouch, that really was a big punch in my face, and I believe some of the things you said about it.
Well,
I
nothing
really
personal, and I didn't
no,
mean
it's,
that
it's
to
okay.
punch you in
it's,
the face. It was more
no,
of a,
it's,
you know.
It's really good, because it's really opening my eyes as well, and I hope listeners are really getting something good out of this. Thank you very much.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked earlier on about the career, the one job, making money and all that. I mean,
yeah.
You and I know that depending on one source of income is definitely a dangerous game.
Yeah.
How does one set up multiple streams of income based on doing what one loves in order to attract money?
Yeah, I love that question, too. The easy answer, and again, I wrote a whole chapter on this in Attract Money Now, is to learn to think like an entrepreneur.
Right.
And again, I had to learn that. When I first heard the word entrepreneur, I didn't even know what it meant. You know, I was like, what's an entrepreneur, what? And, you know, an entrepreneur is a businessman or a businesswoman. It's somebody who's looking for opportunities and turns them into businesses, usually not just one. An entrepreneur has an open-minded way of looking at life. When I was on the Donny Deutsch television show a few years ago, I think it was on CNBC,
exactly.
He was known for always telling people, wherever you hear yourself complain or you hear somebody else complain, lights should go off in your head because that's a business opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how an entrepreneur thinks. An entrepreneur might be standing in line and somebody will say, my goodness, why don't they invent this particular box that will make it easier for me to ship this particular painting or whatever it happens to be? Well, when somebody voices a complaint, they're really saying, I have a need for this product or service.
Mm-hmm.
And an entrepreneur will have their ears perk up and they'll go, oh, I wonder if I can create that product or service. Or a real entrepreneur won't even try to create it. They'll find somebody to create it for them. Because the entrepreneur is more of the mind person, the idea person, the opportunity person.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't necessarily go and say, oh, there's a need for a Cajun restaurant in this city. Let me open it up and be the cook. Instead, an entrepreneur would say, let me find a good Cajun cook and see if he will run the restaurant because this community needs a Cajun restaurant. And obviously, I'm making some of these things up. But the point is, when you think like an entrepreneur, you think out of a little box that previously would say, well, money can only come from one product or one service or one job. Entrepreneur doesn't think like that. An entrepreneur will say, well, I wrote this book. Maybe I should come out with the audio version of the book. Maybe I should come out with a seminar based on the book. Maybe I should come out with a workbook based on the book. Maybe I should come out with a video DVD based on the book. Maybe I should come out with a movie based on the book. And you just have spin-offs, all unique, all valuable, but all stemming from one idea.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking like an entrepreneur is one of the most fun, clever ways to start to attract money, but not from just one source.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, I have, looks like our time is running out, but no, I'm not going to let you go now.
I don't know if you can mention them all, but in order of importance, please, can you mention some of the 29 ways to attract money now?
Wow. maybe a couple of them. They're
exactly.
in the book, so I'm going to remind people they're in the book, Attract Money Now. And
yeah.
the 29 ways are also on my website.
Okay.
And, well, there are going to be things in there like giving money away. And there are going to be things in there like if you're really in a problem and you're in the United States, instead of calling 911, you can call 211. And there's a service there that can help you, especially if you don't have a home or, you know, something tragic is happening right now in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other tips is take action, any action on an idea you have.
Okay.
And I talk about action a lot in my talks and any chance people give me a chance to say it. Because taking action is the reason I've been able to write 50-some books. I don't delay. I don't think about it. I don't sit around wondering, should I do this or not? I go ahead and do that. Creating a vision board is one of the tips. You can do that. A vision board is where you create this, oh, it could be a poster, and you have cutouts on it of things that represent what you want. And it could be a car, it could be the Lamborghini, it could be a house, it could be cash, it could be relationships, any number of things. But a vision board is something you can have fun creating, put it on the wall or put it on a computer and look at it every day, because subconsciously you're absorbing your desire list and you can start to go through it. And again, I don't remember all of them because there's 29 or more ways to attract money, and they're in the book and they're on my blog.
Yeah, I think we should end it there. I'll definitely make sure that people go down there to download the book. And it's,
great.
Again, www.attractmoneynow.com. I'll send the link again for everybody to be able to, download it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask this last question. I can't believe that we have to end, Joe, but I must. I know you are very much into tapping. What
yeah.
is it? What is tapping, and how can one use this technique to get cash flowing fast?
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Well, tapping is sometimes called EFT, which is Emotional Freedom Techniques.
Uh-huh.
I was practicing it from the guy who created it, Roger Callahan. It was called TFT back then. Thought Field Therapy is what that was called. But any way you look at it, it's tapping, and what you're doing is tapping on your body and certain points.
Okay.
Some people say it's psychological acupuncture because instead of using needles at certain points on your body, you're using your fingers and you're just tapping.
Mm.
And I'm not going to be able to explain this in 30 seconds over the phone.
Exactly.
There's plenty of resources out there on tapping or EFT, and you can Google it. But what you would do to help increase the cash flow is when you notice, for example, that you're frustrated with money or you're panicky about money, and I've been there so I can understand the feeling. You might have the feeling like, oh, the electric bill is going to be turned off if I don't pay it. I've got to get the money. Well, the feeling of desperation isn't going to help you attract the money, so you got to get rid of that. How do you get rid of that? Well, you might be saying to yourself, even though I feel desperate about money, I deeply love, accept, and forgive myself. And as you say that statement, you'll be tapping on the underside of your hand. You might be tapping on the top of your head and then above your eyes and on the side of your eyes. And you go through this, you know, 1 or 2 minute process, and during it, you'll be saying the phrase over and over again, even though I'm feeling desperate about money or I'm feeling panicky about money, I deeply love, accept, and forgive myself. Now, what's this doing? It's helping you clear that negative belief that's causing the panicky feeling.
Right.
Why is this good? Well, as soon as you get rid of that out of your system, you are at a place where you can see your opportunities.
Right.
The problem with fear is it locks us down. We're locked down and we can barely move, or we take inappropriate actions, or we take actions that don't actually serve us. We don't see all of our opportunities. When we're more relaxed, we're more in the moment, we're more peaceful. Yes, we might still want money, but we're not going to be desperate about the money. And in that particular moment, you might think, oh, I didn't think about this particular job, or I didn't think about this particular side job, or I didn't think about this particular person, or I forgot I have a savings account, or I forgot I can ask Aunt Martha, or any number of ideas will come to you because you released the energy that was keeping the blinders on you. So I love tapping, and I encourage people to check it out. There's even a movie about it called The Tapping Solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that movie. I recommend the movie, not because I'm in it, but just as a side thing. I'm in it. Watch it even though I'm in it. But tapping's a wonderful tool. So So it's very good.
Thank you very, very much, Joe. I mean, I think I could go on and on, but our time is up. It's been a wonderful time having you on this program, and I've just enjoyed the program so much with all the answers you've given me.
Even though we were both punching each other.
I know, right?
Well, they were
love
more like
punching.
Love
exactly.
Taps is what they
exactly.
were. I love your energy. I love your energy, and I love the questions, and you're doing wonderful work. So Godspeed to all your listeners, and may you be blessed for all you're doing.
Thank you very much. But anyway, before you go, don't run away too soon. I have here.
Okay.
I have here one Monisha Grewal, and she seems to love you just like I do.
Aww.
She says, "Does Joe Vitale have any live events coming up in the near future? I would fly anywhere in the world to see him live." So.
My goodness. Well, I am speaking April 2nd in Austin, Texas. I am speaking April 10th in New Braunfels, Texas, which is between Austin and San Antonio. And I'm doing a small workshop in May. I don't remember the date. It might be May 15th, also in Central Texas.
Right.
Those are the ones, and I'm doing this from memory, that I don't have anything else in front of me.
Okay, so there you go, Monisha. You have your question answered by Dr. Vitale. And I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Vitale, or Joe. I don't need to call Dr. Vitale anymore.
That's right, we're both.
Thank you so very much. And with all your love and giving and attracting money, you definitely wanted to attract money for other people. And so you were generous enough. You've given us two of your abundance paradigm, which you have actually given us a great offer on. And it's on the website. I'll be sending the link out. But the abundance paradigm helps you, listeners, to really be able to get clear of your mind and to be able to start attracting abundance into your life. And from an $87, Joe has reduced it to $69. I'll be sending out the link to you. Unfortunately, I don't have it right now in my mind, so forgive me for that, but you definitely have it, I promise you. And he is giving out two as presents to people who came on the call, and those who were too early enough to come and want to know more about how to attract money. It was about 15 minutes before the call, Mr. John Legbeje, I can't pronounce the surname well, but he came in from Belgium, and there is Lilia Bosco Wallace as well, who came in from the UK. So these two people have won the Abundance Paradigm 6 CD sets that you can listen over and over and start attracting money in your life. And I'll please ask you two, John and Lydia, to please send me your postal addresses so that I can forward it over to Joe to send your packages to you. And I really look forward to knowing how you fare with attracting money into your life. So, Joe,
yes,
you have no idea. Thank you so very much for your willingness to be part of this event. I mean, I've been studying you and your product since, was it 99 or 2000? I have no idea how I got onto you, but I found you on the internet. Since then, I've been following what you've been doing. I've got a number of your books. I wouldn't mention even from, A Customer Born Every Minute.
Oh, yeah, The Customer Born Every Minute. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that as well. And Life Lessons. I mean, I have quite a number of your books.
Oh,
and
I'm impressed. Thank you.
Yeah, and I recently bought the Clearing CDs and MP3s as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really been studying, and I believe in all that you're doing. And these are some of the things, and you are one of the experts that really motivate me to do what I'm doing now. So, again, thank you very much, and all the other experts, because you have all inspired my life to know that there is a treasure, or there is, like you're saying, a treasure island that we can go and get our treasures. So, once again, thank you very much. I'm
thank
sure our
you.
Listeners have enjoyed like I have, and I wish you all the best in continuing all the good work that you're doing. And, again, God bless you for that. So enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, you too. Godspeed to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So, listeners, I just want to thank you all for being on this program, and definitely We will be speaking again on Thursday. So talk to you on Thursday and have a lovely rest of your day. Bye for now.